Today's daf is Erechin Daf Ches, and we are at the beginning of the second perek of Masechtas Erechin, perek Ein Nerach. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. So one of the chedushim in the parasha of Erechin is the very last pasuk in the parasha. After the pasuk lists the amount that a person is obligated when he takes upon himself an erech, says the Torah, v'imachu me'er kecha, in the event that a person is poor, he can't afford to pay the erechin, v'hemidah lefnei akoyin, he'll have the opportunity to stand in front of a kohen, the herechai say a kohen, and the kohen is going to make his own erechin, his own assessment of this person, al pi ha'shetaseg yad ha'noyde yarechenu akoyin, and based on what he deems that this person can afford to pay, he is going to obligate this person to pay. So in a way, Erechin is like the oil of a yoyred. If you recall from Masechta Zvachim, there was a carbon chatas that was called an oil of a yoyred. Ordinarily, if someone has to bring a carbon chatas, the Torah says what you're supposed to bring, stating that there are a few averes, tumas mikdash v'kadoshav, shvuos ha'edos, where the Torah says that in the event that you can't afford to bring the kizva or the seira, the female sheep or the female goat, that ordinarily has to be the carbon chatas, says the Torah, we're going to work with you. If you can't afford the behema, you can bring two birds. If you can't even afford to bring two birds, you could bring the minchasani. You have the right to bring a carbon mincha. Erechin is similar. Erechin, there's the ideal amount that you're supposed to pay, and those are the prices that the Torah lists very, very explicitly. Stating that, there is a caveat. V'imachu me'er kecha, in the event that you can't afford it, so then the kohen is the assessor, and he gets to decide how much you're actually going to be obligated to pay. Regardless, that halacha, that pasuk is the backdrop to today's daf, and we'll see that it's really a machlokes tanam, remeir, and the chacham, and what exactly that pasuk is saying. Zok the Mishnah, in erocha pachas misela, v'lo yeser al chamishim sela, the least that a person will ever have to pay based on a neder of Erechin will be a sela. The most that a person will ever have to pay is chamishim sela. Again, when the Mishnah says the word sela, it means what the Torah means when it says the word shekel. Even though ordinarily in Lashon Chazal, the selah and the shekel were not the same thing. They were two shkolim to the one selah. But when the Torah uses the word shekel, it's shekel hakodesh, it's not the ordinary shekel, it's the equivalent thereof to the selah in the times of Chazal. That's why you find shekel and selah sometimes as being different and sometimes being interchangeable. So if the whole currency sugya wasn't complicated enough, that adds another layer. Because every time you see the word shekel, is it a regular shekel, like the Chazal shekel, or is it the shekel HaKodesh that the Torah talks about? But regardless, in our Mishnah, when it says Sela, it's the equivalent thereof to the shekel HaKodesh, so it's the same as the shekel of the Torah. So it's another way of saying that it's never going to be less than a shekel in biblical terms, and it's never going to be more than 50 shekelim. What's the cheshbon? So the Mishnah says ketzad. Usually ketzad is a very specific interpretation of what the Mishnah just said. That's not the case in our ketzad. So what's the pashup shan in the Mishnah? The highest price for an erech is if somebody takes upon himself the erech of a male between the ages of 20 and 60. How much does he have to pay? 50 shekel, which is 50 slon. Thus, it's never going to be more than 50 slon. The lowest amount is a female between the ages of Ben Chodesh, 30 days, and 5 years. The amount you would have to pay is 3 shkalim, which is 3 slot. Stating that, there is a halacha, v'machu me'er kecha, sometimes it could be less. What the Mishnah is saying is that the least it could ever be is 1 seller. So it can't be more than 50, because that's the maximum price that's mentioned in the Torah. It can't be less than a seller, even though the minimum price is really 3 slot, but there is a concept, the asterisk, v'machu me'er kecha, and the least it will ever be based on the kohen's assessment is 1 sela. Zok Mishnah Ketzah, Nosan Sela V'Hesha. What happens if somebody gave a sela, and then afterwards he became a gvir? So somebody took upon himself Erech, and he stood in front of the kohen. The kohen said, a sela. So he gave the sela. And then afterwards, he became wealthy. The halacha says, Einei Noisim Klov. He doesn't have to add anything. Because once he gave the sela, he was already yoitza his Erech. And as a result, the fact that he made money later, has nothing to do with anything. Pachis Misela. Let's say he gave less than a sela. So he was Mekabel Erech, he stood in front of the Kayin, and the Kayin told him, okay, we're going to work with you. And he gave less than a seller. The Hesher, if he becomes a Gvir afterwards, Noisim Chamishim seller. Now he's going to have to give the 50 seller. Why? Because Ein Nerach and Pachas Misela. So what he gave was a deposit. He didn't fulfill his obligation. If he didn't fulfill his obligation, he still has an obligation outstanding. As a result, if now he became a gvir, while there's an obligation outstanding, now already a mechuyev to give the full amount. What happens if somebody took upon himself an erech of a man who's between the ages of 20 and 60? How much is he obligated to pay? Based on what the Torah says, 50 shkolim, 50 slayim. He doesn't have 50 slum. He stands in front of the Kayan, and the Kayan realized that the amount of money that he has to give towards Erechin is 5 slum. So what does he do? Rameo says, Eino noisin elachas. You still only give one. The Chachamim say, noisin eskula. No, you give all 5. And this is a big chiddush where Rameo is saying. Because Pasha, when you read the Pasuk, it sounds like the way we explained it, that the Kayan makes a decision of how much you can afford to pay, and whatever that is, that's what you're going to pay. So it'll never be less than a Zela, but it might be more. It could be 2, it could be 3, it could be 4, it could be 5. Whatever the Kayan deems is appropriate, that's l'chura, what you would have to pay. Rameo says no. Rameo says that either you pay the full amount, or you pay a sela. The Mishnah then concludes and says, "Ein erachem pachas misela, v'lo yasra al chamishim sela," which is literally verbatim the first line of the Mishnah. So the first line of the Mishnah and the last line of the Mishnah are the same, which means that the second line of the Mishnah is extra. It's redundant. The Gemara is going to ask the Kasha. Either way, so the Mishnah said, "Ein erachem pachas misela, v'lo yasra al chamishim." So the Gemara says, "How do you know that?" "Tichsev v'chol erkecho yeh b'shekel hakodesh." Now this is a pasuk in the end of Parshas Bechukosai. So it's a few pesukim later, but it's already a completely different pasuk. That pasuk is not really discussing Erechin so much. It's discussing the halachas of Stei Achuzah. With here too, there's a halacha that relates to Shekel HaKodesh, because if somebody is Makdish of Stei Achuzah, he has an ability to redeem it based on a certain formula that relates to Shekel HaKodesh. And in that context, the pasuk says, V'chol Erkecha, when we assess the value of the field, Yiyeh B'Shekel HaKodesh. Regardless, you have the word Erkecha, which also means Erechin. You have the word Shekel HaKodesh, and from there we learn that kol erichin sha'ata mayrich lo yiyu p'chusim mishakel. That any time there's an erichacha, it has to be at the very least a shakel. So there's no way that the kohen could ever say that your obligation is going to be to give less than a shakel. Because v'chol erichacha yiyu b'shakel. Even if you're not giving the full amount, at the very least it has to be a shakel. Yes, well, chamishim slom. How do you know? Can't be more than 50. That's easy. Dichsev chamishim. Just look at the psukim. Go through the highest possibility. It's a zocha between the ages of 20 and 60. And the amount is going to be 50. What if a person had 5, so he can't afford the full amount, but he has more than a shekel? So we saw in the Mishnah, it's machlekes remain the chacham. Rameir says, you always give a shekel. The chachamim say, no, you give as much as you can give. My time with the Rameir, ksiv chamishim, it says chamishim, in the event that your erechin was for a zacha between the ages of 20 and 60, if it was in a keva between the ages of 20 and 60, it'd be 30. Chamishim lav dafka. The point is, you have the real amount. V'ksiv shekel, and it says v'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel hakodesh. Thus, oy chamishim b'shekel. It's one of the other rabbanon. The rabbanon say ahu l'chol erchin shatamayr chol yu p'chusim b'shekel. It's true, you have the real amount, and then you have the shekel amount. But the shekel is not the other amount. It's the minimum amount. It can't be less than a shekel. Zokti Gemara, Heicha de Isle Amakra. This is the Rabbanan continuing to talk. And the Rabbanan is saying, I'll prove to you that I'm right. That when it says, V'chalekecha yeh b'shekel hakodesh, it's just the minimum amount. Because the Pasuk also says, Asher tasek yad anoyder. Let's just read the Pasuk. V'arei yodoy maseges. Meaning, it sounds like, give whatever you can afford. That's just the minimum amount. Rameir, ahu yad anoyde v'lo yad hanider hudas. What does Rameir do with the pasuk that says v'heru choisei akoyin al pi asher tasek yad anoyder? Rameir learns that that pasuk is not coming to teach me that you're supposed to give as much as you can afford. The pasuk's emphasis is something else. It's not kefi asher tasek as much as the emphasis is on yad hanoyder as opposed to yad hanider. As if there would have been a havamina that when we decide whether or not this person could afford to give the full erech or not, we don't base it on his own personal net worth, but rather on the net worth of the nerach, the net worth of whose value he took upon himself. Sounds like a big chiddush. But either way, Rameir felt that we need a pasuk for that, and the emphasis of this pasuk is yad anoyder. It's not coming to teach me that give as much as you could afford. The emphasis of the pasuk is yad anoyder. Rabbanan, the Rabbanan say, I hear Rameir. I'm willing to accept that. That the Torah had to say yad anoyder because there could have been some sort of havamina, ben benoy shel havamina, that when we decide whether or not you could afford it, we don't look at your personal financials, but rather those of the neder. Stating that, but lav memela shamet mina, the hechad the other masega shakal mina. But at the end of the day, read the pasuk. The Torah wrote it to teach me yad anoyder. But at the end of the day, what's the Torah saying? Kefi asher tasig. Yeah, I know either. Okay, so at the end of the day, it comes down to what the person can afford or what the person can't afford. says there's a machlekes remeir the chachamim when we say this halacha v'machu meir kecha. So we work it out. What does that mean? Koint remeir. Either you can afford exactly what you took upon himself, or it's going to be a shekel. How do I know that? Because there's two parashas. You have the ikar parasha of Erechin, which has a price list, and then you have the pasuk tucked away at the end of the parasha, which is really talking about makdish te'achuza, where it says b'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel akodesh. It's one or the other. Either it's the shekel akodesh, or you pay the full amount. Chum say no. That pasuk of b'chol erkecha yeh b'shekel akodesh is just the minimum amount. You can't have Erechin less than shekel, but in terms of what the amount should be, mechatesi. And in fact, say the chachamim, read the pasuk. Let's just be mavasetra.
What if a person had five slaim and we're going according to the chachamim, where if you had five slaim, even if your erech was, let's say, 50 slaim, you have to give the full five. Or maybe would say you only give one sell. But according to chachamim, you have to give it all. The Amar, he said, erki olai, he took upon his own erech. He was between the ages of 20 and 60. And then he chazed it. And he said again, Erech Yolai. So that's not chazara, right? Now it's a second obligation. He's learning it for the first time since Vaitamu, which is often chazara. But either way, that's what he has to do. So he now was mekabel two Erechins. He was mekabel Erechin, and then he was mekabel, not our chazara chabura, but he was mekabel... So you're rolling your eyes. He was mekabel another erech. Zok the Gemara, Rav Ada Bar Ahava. So he was mekabel two erechins, right? So technically, it's 50 and 50. V'nosan arba l'shniya. And then he took four, and he gave it towards the second erechin, v'echal l'rishayna, and one towards the first erechin. So he went a little counterclockwise. He went a little backwards. He was mekabel two erechins, 50 and 50, but he doesn't have this kind of money. He's just varfing with the erechins. Turns out he has five shekel to his name. Okay, so he took four of them and he paid them towards his second erech. According to the chachamim, that you don't just say a shekel if you can't pay the full amount. No, you give whatever you can give. So he takes four and he gave it towards the second, and then he gave one towards his first. The halach is yotzei deshneim. He was yotzei both of them. My time. What's the reason? Because balchayv mo'och shekadim v'gava, mashekav v'gava. There's a very big chiddush in the halach of balchayv, and that is that if somebody borrows money from two people, the halach is the second balchayv is allowed to be goyva before the first balchayv. This is really a very big chiddush, because the first balchayv we know could always be goyva from the kuchos that come after him. Stating that, the first balchayv can't be goyva from a second balchayv. Meaning, if the second balchayv was goyva, even though technically he should be second in line because someone had a lien on the property before him, because someone had borrowed or loaned money before him, it doesn't matter. The halach is, balchayv mocha shakad v'gava, mashakad v'gava. In this case, we look at the two erechin obligations as being two chayvas, proverbially speaking. We look at them as two chayvas. They're both obligations. The first erki is the balchayv rishon. The second erki is the balchayv sheni. Being the balchayv sheni has a right to be goyva before the balchayv rishon, so be'idna diyav l'shniya, meshabed l'rishon. When he gave to the second, the four, really he was already meshubed to the Rishayna. Be'idna diyav l'rishayna su'lesle. Which means as follows, that really this person had no obligation towards the second erech, technically. Why? Because by the time he took upon himself the second erech, he had already been meshabed the five slum that he had towards the first erech. So whatever he gives the balchayv sheni, whatever he gives towards the second erech, he's going to be yaitza. Now, after that, balchayv sheni, meaning he paid the four slum towards the second erech, he's only left with one tzela. So obviously, if that's all he has, he can't give more than that anyways towards the first erech. So when he gives the first erech, he's going to be yotze. He's yotze the second, he's yotze the first. He's yotze the second because there was nothing really that was meshubah towards the second. So whatever he gives the second is all fine. And he was yotze the first because when it came time to pay the first, all he had was what? Are you going to tell me if it's meshubah to the first, he had no right to give it to the second, to take it away from the second, so to speak, to give it to the first? Balchayv sheni shekadam v'gava, ma shekava gava. So at the end of the day, he's yotze the first and he's yotze the second. Nosan abel rishayna, if however he did it in the reverse, he took upon himself erki erki, and he gave four towards the first, v'achas l'shniya, and then he gave one towards the second. The second one is for sure yaitza, because there was nothing really meshubah to the second one. So anything he gives to the second one is going to be good. But he wasn't yaitza the first one, because kulu meshabed l'rishayna, because all five were meshubah the rishayna. Now in the first case also all five were meshubah the rishayna. The difference is, in the first case he didn't start paying
the Rishayna. In the second case, he started paying the Rishayna. Why does this matter? So the truth is, a big discussion in the Rishayna, and really, the Rishayna discussed this Gemara in light of a Mishnah on Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. So this is really just a piece of a sugya. The ikkar of this sugya is the Mishnah Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, and we'll wait for there to have a better understanding of what we just said. Either way, if somebody had five slama, and he said shnei erki olai bevas achas, and he took upon himself two erichin. So in the previous case, he said erki olai, and then he said erki olai. Here, he said, Shnei erki olai bevas achas. He did them at the same time. So the shaila is, do you say, kiv de bevas achas nodar ki adodi tafs? And do you say that, being that he was makabel both of them at the same time, so he has to now take the five slum that he has from a shibud standpoint. Half of it is meshabed to one erich, the other half is meshabed to the other erich. Thus, you have tarati upal gilahai, the tarati upal gilahai. So two and a half go to each one. Well, it's not the way it works. No. You were makabel two erichins, you had five slums, so five on meshubed to this, five on meshubed to that. So to Gemara, teiku. Meaning, do you say that each one has a shibud of five? Or do you say that each one has a shibud of two and a half? This is all the chacham. The chacham who say that you give as much as you can give. So the amount that you can give technically is five. The question is, are the five meshubit individually to two erichins, or is it half and half? Ein be'erich ha'pachas misela v'lo yeser al-chamishim selah. So the Mishnah began by saying, ein be'erich ha'pachas misela v'lo yeser al-chamishim, and then it concluded by saying the same thing. Says the Gemara, Hasulam, why does the Mishnah have to chazer over literally verbatim the same exact thing in the same Mishnah? Says the Gemara, ha'kamash malan, pachas misela v'udaleka, yasal sala'ika. Emphasis on ein erachim pachas misela. I mean, it's never going to be less than a seller, but more than a seller might be. And again, it's never going to be less than chamishim for someone who could afford the 50. Ha pachas mi chamishin ika. The slumber of karabanan. The chiddush is that the halacha is like the rabbanon as opposed to Rav Meir. I mean, according to Rav Meir, either you pay the fixed amount that the Torah says, or you give a shekel. The emphasis of the Mishnah by saying it a second time is to be medayik michlal lavata shemeyahem. That it can never be less than a seller, but it could be more than a seller. Either way, stama kecha chamim exhale. Nu sugya. So if the next part of the daf looks intimidating, it's because it is intimidating. So there's really no way to sugarcoat this. But regardless, the Gemara is gonna make a cheshbon. But just first of all, appreciate the context, like the super high level, the 20,000 foot level of what the Mishnah is doing. It's digressing. So we're gonna go from learning the sugyas of Erechin to the sugyas of Nida and Ziva. So how do we go from Erechin to Nida and Ziva? So this is great. The Gemara often digresses, and sometimes digresses from its digression. But here the Mishnah does. Mishnah doesn't often do it. Every now and again. So here the Mishnah is digressing. We mentioned that Erichin can never be less than or more than. So there's the minimum amount and the maximum amount. What's the minimum amount? One sela. Shekel HaKadosh. What's the maximum amount? 50 slav. 50 shkalim. So we're going to give other examples of things that have a minimum amount and a maximum amount. And the first is a woman who's a nida. She saw dam, but she has a suffix if she's a nida. Is she a zava? Is she a zava ketana? Is she a zava gedayla? So either way, just a little bit of a background. And that is, midai raisa, a woman that sees dam that comes from oisim makim, is not necessarily a nida. Rather, you have to know when exactly she saw it, or what day in the month, or what day of her period, her cycle, the dam was seen. And midday raisa, her cycle is really an 18-day cycle. The first 7 days is the nida part of the cycle. The next 11 days is the zava part of the cycle. If a woman sees dam during the 7 days of nida, let's call it the first 7 days of this 18-day period, the halach is she's a nida. What's the halach of a nida midday raisa? Midday raisa, a nida's tame for 7 days. Okay, but here's the chiddush. The chiddush is that she could see dam every single one of those 7 days. So she sees dam on the first day of the 18-day period, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh. As long as she stops seeing dam on the eighth day, she's tahar. She goes to the mikveh, she's tahar. She doesn't have to wait. She doesn't have to have shiva nekiyim. All she needs is 7 days from when she was raya dam until the conclusion of her nida period. it doesn't make a difference then if she saw dam 1 day of the 7 days, or if she saw dam 2 days of the 7 days, or 7 days of the 7 days. The halacha is if a woman sees dam nida during the 7 days where the dam makes her a nida, the halacha is she's tamei for 7 days. It doesn't matter how much dam she saw. By the 8th day, as long as she doesn't see dam anymore, she's not going to be a nida anymore. What happens if a woman sees dam on the 8th day? So let's say she saw dam on the 1st day. Now 7 days pass. Okay, it's the 8th day. She went to the, she's not a nida anymore. So what happens on the 8th day? Or she sees dam on the 9th day. So the next 11 days, the latter part of this 18-day period, any dam that she sees would make her not a nida. It would make her a zafa. Incidentally, the difference is that the Torah refers to the dam that she sees when she's a dog, zava, as if the dam came shaloi be'es nidasa. So a woman naturally sees dam during certain times of the month. The 7 days where midday raisa she becomes a nida is the es nidasa. That's the time that we assume she was supposed to see dam. Erech bizman oiba. But any dam that she sees after that 7 day period, we're assuming came shaloi be'es nidasa, and therefore halacha treats it differently. This is on a deraisa level. The Torah says, being that it came shaloi be'es nidasa, so it's a little different. What's the halacha? She's a zava. What does that mean? That means if she sees dam, the halacha is she's tameh that day, and she has to be clean for 1 day afterwards. It's what's called the shemeres yom kenegidam. We don't have to go into that far, sugya. But she has to be clean for 1 day. If she would see dam for 2 days, then kenegid the 2 days, she would have to be tar for 2 days as well. If she sees dam 3 days, 3 days in a row, does it have to be shayfas? Different sugyas and shas. But if she sees dam 3 days, then the halacha is she gets upgraded from a zava ketana, who's only shemeres yom keneged yom, and she becomes a zava gedayla. A zava gedayla is a whole different parasha. It's a mishnah in the first pack of Masechtas Megillah. Ein bein zava ketana with zava gedayla. So what's the halacha of a zava gedayla? Number one, she has to bring a carbon in order for it to become tar. Number two, and this is big, she has to count shivin akin. So she has to wait 7 days where she's going to be 100% clean in order for her to become tar. But again, what's important is that she can become a nida if she sees dam during the first 7 days of the 18 days. If she would see dam during the next 11 days of the 18 days, that dam would not be treated as dam nida. It wouldn't render her a nida. Rather, it would make her a zav. It's a whole different Shulchan Aruch. Nida l'chud and zav l'chud. Nida means she's tamei for 7 days. No ifs, buts, or whens. Zava means that she's only shemeres yom keneged yom. If, however, she sees dam ziva for 3 days, then the halacha is that A, she has to bring a carbon, and B, in order for it to be tar, she would have to have shivin akim. Now, what's important for today's daf is that if you think about it for a second, a woman who's a nida versus a woman who's a zava, there's a chumra and a kula each way. The chumra being a nida is it's always 7 days of Toma. So if a woman sees dam nida, she's for sure tamei for 7 days. That's a chumra. If a woman sees dam ziva, she's not necessarily tamei for 7 days. If she's a zava gedayla, then she's tamei for 7 days. Shenimah. She even has to have shivin akim, which is much more chumra. But if she's a zava ketana, if she just saw dam ziva and it wasn't 3 days in a row, so then the halacha is she's only going to be shemeres yom kineged. So dam nida has a chumra over dam ziva. Dam nida, you automatically tamei for 7 days. Whereas dam ziva, you're not necessarily tamei for 7 days. That's the chumra that nida has over ziva. What's the chumra that ziva has over nida? If you see dam ziva for 3 days, you're a zava gedayla. If you're a zava gedayla, number one, you need shivin akiyim. Number two, you have to bring a carbon in order to be tar. If a nida sees dam for 3 days, it makes no difference. It's like we said, she could see dam nida for 7 days. This all makes absolutely no difference. Because at the end of the day, the halacha is that she just has to wait the 7 days, and then afterwards, she's not going to be a nida anymore. So either way, every woman has an 18-day cycle, during which, if she sees dam, the halacha is, she becomes tamei. The first 7 days, the dam is treated as dam nida, which means she's tamei for 7 days. The next 11 days, the dam is treated as dam ziva. If she sees it 1 day or 2 days, she's only shemeres yom keneged yom. If she sees it 3 days, she becomes a zava gedayla, which means she needs shivin akiyim in order to become tar. It also means that she has to bring a carbon in order for her to be tar. Now, this is all on the minimum level. The minimum period is 18 days. 7 and 11, it's an 18-day period. But obviously, it can stretch itself out much longer as well. Sometimes it can take much longer for a woman to become tar, which means that the beginning of cycle A is going to be more than 18 days away from the beginning of cycle B. Right? What happens if a woman was Raya Dam Nida? So she was telling me for 7 days, whatever. And then she became a Zava Gedayla, and it was hard for her to have Shiva Nakiyim. And it took her an extra 7 days before she had Shiva Nakiyim. So then she's not going to start her new cycle, her new period, until day 25. Which means that from the beginning of period A to the beginning of period B is going to be a 25-day period. It's going to be a much longer. So even though we said it's 18 days, that's on the minimum level. But really, it could be much longer. Additionally, what would happen if a woman was Raya Dam Nida, 7 days, and then she had the 11-day period of Ziva, and then she just wasn't Raya Dam. She wasn't Raya Dam for another 2 weeks. Okay, so that would then mean that the amount of time between these two cycles will again be more than Yud Ches Yomer. So if everything just goes exactly the way the Torah discusses it, so there's going to be these 18-day intervals that you'll always work with. 7 of Nida, 11 of Ziva. 7 of Nida, 11 of Ziva. But needless to say, it's not necessarily always the way it's going to work. But what is important is every single time a new period starts, you go back to working with this 18-day period. So that's always the way it is. It's always an 18-day period. The Shaila just is when the 18-day period is going to start. So it could be it's going to be every 18 days, but lav dafka, and presumably it's not going to be that way. But the point is that whenever she's Roya Dam again, so it's a Chazetz Chibur again, this cycle of an 18-day period. Okay, what's the Mishnah? The Mishnah is discussing a woman that was Roya Dam. She knows she saw Dam, but she has absolutely no idea if the dam is dam nida, or if the dam is dam ziva. She has no clue. She just doesn't know where she's holding in terms of this cycle, the 18-day period. Did she see dam nida, or did she see dam ziva? Okay. Now, the truth is that based on that, if you think about it, so what's your halacha be? So you always have to assume the worst. We're dealing with dairaisis over here. So obviously you have to assume the worst. What would be the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario from a tumas nida perspective, or the worst case scenario from a heta labayla perspective, right? Nida, you always have to look at from two perspectives. Number one, a nida is asa labayla. Chavikrisos could be it's even one of the arayas. Tosis yivam estapezim adalav goes into that case of the Rabbi Yoina. So it could be it's even one of the arayas. So number one, there's an erva component. Number two, there's a tumah v'tahira component. So you have to now assume the worst case scenario because we're dealing with some serious, serious arayas over here. So what's the worst case scenario? She says ava gedayla. In which case she has to wait Shiva Nakiyah. So technically, all she would have to do is count 7 days of Nakiyah, even though she may not be a Zava Gedayla, but she may be a Zava Gedayla. So, Misafik, that's Lachur, what you would say you have to do. Stating that, our Mishnah is discussing a woman that doesn't just want to cover her bases so that she knows now she's the Shor Tahar. She wants to know how she can get back on track. So she could start counting like a mensch and keeping a better cheshvin of exactly what's going on. So, to be able to assure yourself 100% where you're holding in terms of Dam Nida and Dam Ziva, it's not going to be enough to just wait 7 days, as the Gemara is going to discuss. So the backdrop of the mission is a woman who doesn't know where she's at. She doesn't just want to be Mutta Labayla or not be Tameh, but rather what she wants is to be able to start counting again like a mensch without making a mistake. So the question is, how much time has to pass without her seeing Dam, in order for her to say, now the Dam that she saw is the beginning of an 18-day cycle, so she can go back to counting 7 days of Dam Nida, 11 days of Dam Ziva, hopefully have a better cheshbon of what's going on, and not ever make this mistake again. That's what the Mishnah says. Zok the Mishnah, Ein Pesach, and the word Pesach in our sugya means the beginning of a new cycle. So Ein Pesach, Bitoya, a woman that made a mistake will never have to wait more than 17 days, including the day that she saw Dam, 18 days, but 17 additional days of Nikian before she could know for sure that the Dam that she sees is a new cycle, and it's never going to be less than 7 days. And the Gemara explains. If a woman says that, I made a mistake. I got confused. What happened? I saw Dam one day. I just have no idea if the Dam was Dam Nida, if it was the Dam Ziva. I don't know if I'm holding it the 7 days and the 11 days. I have absolutely no cheshbin where I am. So the halach is Pischa Shivasa. She would have to have Nikiyim now for 17 days. And on the 18th day, which would be the 19th day, including the day that she actually saw Dan, at that point you can know 100% that she's going to be okay. And that it's the beginning of a new Nida cycle. Again, to be Tara, all she would have to wait 7 days. But the point is, for her to know for sure that she's starting a new Machzer, she's starting a new cycle, a new period, so count an extra 17 days. At that point, it will be 18 days, including the day that she saw. At that point, she's going to be good to go. What's the Svara? What's the reason behind it? The reason behind it is very simple. Because what's the longest amount of time you can possibly have between periods? 18 days. Unless she doesn't see Dan, or unless she became a Zovah Gedoyel in the interim. But we're discussing where she's going to be Nucky. She's going to be clean. She's going to have 17 straight days of Nikiyim. So she will have not become a Zovah Gedoyel in the interim. If that's the case, what's the maximum amount of time that you can have between periods? It's 18 days. So even if you assume the worst case scenario, you assume that the dam that she saw was day one. It was literally the first day of the 18-day period. Which means that she now has to be a Nida for 7 days. Which means there's another 11 days of Yimei Ziva. Which means it's going to take 18 days until she can start her new period. Okay, so wait 17 days plus that day. You have your 18 days. If you have your 18 days, it's like this, you're going to be good to go. Any other possibility, if you do the math, any other scenario, you're going to end up having to wait less. Right, let's work it out. Let's say she saw Dam Nida, but it wasn't the first day of her period. It was really the 7th day of her period. If it was the 7th day of her period, how much time would she have to wait until she starts her period again? Assuming she's Naki. 11 days. Okay, it's much less than 17, right? Let's assume it wasn't Dam Nida, the Dam that she saw. Let's assume it was Dam Ziva. We'll work with the two extremes. Let's say it was the first day of her Dam Ziva. If it was the first day of her Dam Ziva, she would have to wait 10 days. Let's say it was the last day of her Dam Ziva. Tomorrow she could start again. So as long as she has 17 days of Nikiyin, for sure, the Dam that she sees afterwards is going to be Dam Nida. And again, it's based on two realities, just to get this clear. It's based on the fact that from period to period is 18 days. It's also based on the fact that it's only 18 days if she sees Dam on the 18th day. But if she doesn't see Dam, it could be 25 days, it could be 30 days, it could be 150 days, it could be 5 years. It's the next time that she sees Dam. So in this case, if she'll be Naki for 17 days, the next time she sees Dam is for sure the new period. It's for sure the new Pesach. And as a result, she wants to know when she could start counting fresh, get a clean slate. That's the time she could do that. Shnei Yamim, Tami Reisi. What if she says, I saw Dam 2 days in a row? It's the same halacha, Pischa Shivas, or Shoshi Yamim, Tami Reisi. She says, I saw Dam 3 days in a row, Pischa Shivas, it's also 17 days. Why are these two cases the same? Because again, let's think of the case would be where she saw Dam on the last day. So if she saw Dam on the last day, so in that case, so the first day of the 2 days would not be Dam Nida, the second day is Dam Nida. So what would be the first day? The first day would have to be Dam Ziva. The second day is Dam Nida. So if the second day is Dam Nida, so it's the first of the 18 days, make the cheshbon of the 18 days. If she saw 3 days in a row, so the first 2 days are Dam Ziva. The third day is Dam Nida. Again, count 17 days. And there you have your 18 days. So again, if you want to assume the worst case scenario, the last day that she saw Dam should be the first day of the period. If that's the case, 18 days, you're going to be fine. Arba, Yom, Tommy Reese. What if she says that I saw Dam 4 days in a row? See, here it's already different. Here we're going to start working. Pischa Shisha Asar. Then it's only going to be 16 days. What's the reason for this? Because in the event that she saw 4 days in a row. So what's the worst case scenario? You're going to tell me the same thing. The fourth day was the day that the first day of her cycle. So if the fourth day is the fourth day of her cycle, so count another 17 days like we did in the first three cases. It doesn't work. You know why? Because if the fourth day is the first day of her cycle, what does it mean the 3 days before that were? It was the last 3 days of the previous cycle. Which means it was Yemei Ziva. What happens if a woman sees 3 days in a row during her Yemei Ziva? She becomes a Zava Gedoyla. If she's a Zava Gedoyla, how much time does she have to wait before she starts her new period? Only 7 days. So it can't be, that's not a possibility that this is the first day of her cycle and as a result she has to wait 17 days. That's not a possibility. That tzad is not a tzad. Because the only way that would be possible is if the first three times she saw were the last 3 days of her Yemei Ziva. And if those were the last 3 days of Yemei Ziva, she doesn't have to wait 17 days. So that's not a possible. That's not a possibility. What's then the worst case scenario? What's the worst case scenario? That it was 2 days, exactly. The first two of the 4 days were the last 2 days of Yemei Ziva. And the first 2 days or the latter 2 days of the 4 days are the first 2 days of a Yemei Dida. If that's the case, the second day that she saw is already day two. If it's day two, so she doesn't need another 17 days. How many more days does she need? Another 16 days. That's what the Mishnah says. If she saw 4 days in a row, then Pischa Shishasat, Chamisha Yom, Tommy Reisi. What if she says she saw 5 days in a row? So again, what's the worst case scenario? The worst case scenario is that the Nida started at the latest possible time. In this case, it's going to be day three. Because if it's day four, she would have been a Zava Gedayla from the previous 3 days, because they would have been the last 3 days of the previous cycle. So you'd have to say that the first two of the 5 days that she saw was related to the old cycle. The next 3 days are related to the new cycle. If that's the case, she's already holding day three. If she's holding day three, how many more days does she need? It's basic math. It's 18 minus three. You're going to get 15. Chamisha asar. Shisha yom im tami ro yisi. Pischar ba asar. Shiva yom im tami ro yisi. Pischa shloish asar. Shmoyne yom im tami ro yisi. Pischa shnei masar. Tisha yom im tami ro yisi. Pischa achad asar. Asar yom im tami ro yisi. Pischa asar. Achad asar. Pischa tisha. Shnei masar. Pischa shmoyne. Shloish asar. Pischa, Shiva, it's all the same thing. At the end of the day, you're going to end up, just do the math, in the worst case scenario, it's going to end up being 17 days. Again, why 17 days? The worst case scenario would be that the day that she saw Dam is day one. If it's day one, being that it is an 18-day period, if you catch 17 days of Niki and there's no Sava Gedoyla in between, so then L'chaira, based on that, you should be good once day 19 starts. That's already going to be the new Machzor. So you have the day that she saw, plus 17 days, 18 days past, any Dam that she sees afterwards is going to be the new Machzor. It's never going to be less than 7, so that's the part that we went through a little bit faster, although it's the same exact math, it's the same formula, you just have to drag it. It's the same exact formula. But what's the difference? The difference over there is, why is it always going to be at the very least 7 days? Because if a woman saw Dam 13 days in a row, right, she's saying already 13 days in a row, she for sure became a Zava Gedoyla. Right? It's impossible to see Dam 13 days without being a Zava Gedoyla. It's impossible to see Dam for 12 days without being a Zava Gedoyla. Why not? Because let's assume, this is important for the next Gemara also, this is an important segue. Because if 7 of those days was Dam Nida, then the other 2 and 5 were Zava. The other 2 and 3, right? If you have 12 days, 7 is the Zman Nida. Everything else is Ziva. So it could be before the Nida, after the Nida, it could be in succession, but you're for sure going to have a 3-day block of Ziva. It's impossible, it's inevitable. As a result, she's for sure Zava Gedoyla, which means she's going to have Shiva Nekiyim. So she's for sure going to have Shiva Nekiyim. That's going to be the minimal possibility, because even if she saw 13 days in a row, that means she's a Zava Gedoyla. So there's always going to be 7 days. Shiva Nekiyim she's for sure going to have to address the possibility that she might be a Zava Gedoyla. She may have to have more than that. How much? Up to 17 days. Excel. Amale Rav Ada Barahava the Rava. Now Rav Ada Barahava asked Rava what we spoke out before we started this Gemara. Lomali Kulei Hai. Timni Shiva Vitishtari. I don't understand the big deal. Why does this woman even care? Like, why is it initial? Let her just count 7 days and she'll be fine. Right? We said, in the worst case scenario, from a Tumah V'Taira standpoint, she might be a Zava Gedoyla. Zava Gedoyla needs Shiva Nekiyim. Suppose she needs Shiva Nekiyim, let her be good. Amalei Letkuna Li Deinida U'Pischa Kamei. You're right. If all we wanted was to accomplish that she should be Mutal Abayla, if all we wanted to accomplish was that she shouldn't be Tumah from a Tumah V'Taira perspective, that would taka be okay. But what we want to accomplish here is more than that. What we want to accomplish is she should know when she should be able to start counting from scratch. For that already, you would have to know more. Incidentally, why is it so important to her? Right? Why is it so important for her to know that it's the beginning? I think she wants to have a new clean slate, right? But why? Like, why is that so chashuv? It's very simple, because otherwise she's dealing with major sfeikus issues, like the Gemara's going to say in a second. There's major sfeikus issues, because misafik, she's always going to have to assume it's Dam Nida, so every time she sees Dam, she's going to be taught me 7 days. At the same time, misafik, if she sees 3 days Dam in a row, she might be a Zava Gedoyla, which means she's a Mechusa Kippurin, which means she's chayv to bring a carbon. So it's not kishmak to be in this state of limbo. Regardless, to be Matara Labaila, all she would need is Shiva Nekiyim. But for her to know 100% where she's holding, she's either going to have Shiva Nekiyim on the low end, or she's going to have 17 days of Nekiyim, which is going to be on the high end. Tanu Rabbanu, Kol HaTois, Zavois, Bevi'ois Karbin. Anytime a person has a Safik, a woman, our Mishnah, our Braisa, where this woman's not sure where she's holding in terms of Dam, so the halacha is, misafik, she always brings a carbon, ve'inei nechel, it's not eaten. Now the carbon that the Zava brought was shtei oifos, one was an oil, one was a chatas, the oil was kulei kolol, the chatas was kulei nechel. This chatas oif, that's not put on the mizbeach at all, but is completely eaten. So the halacha is, in this case, being that it's being brought because of a tois, it's not going to be eaten. The Gemara says, this is chutz mi pischa shiva, u pischa shmoina, shemeviyas karbin. The Gemara is going to explain it. Chutz mi pischa shiva, u pischa shmoina, shemeviyas karbin. So any time, meaning all the cases that we had earlier, that's what it sounds like the Gemara is saying, where there's a suffix. She saw down 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, up to 13 days, right? Anytime she has a suffix, so what was the halacha? So the halacha, she has to bring a carbon, because maybe she's a zava gedayla, but you can't eat it, because maybe she's not a zava gedayla. Incidentally, what happened to chulam azara? So the Gemara Sachtesvachim addresses this, and there's a special chiddush, there's a special drasha that says that a chatas ha'ayv could be brought mi suffix, it just can't be eaten. So this is a mafurish Gemara Sachtesvachim. But regardless, says the Gemara, in every single case, that's what the halacha is going to be, with the exception of pischa shiva, pischa shmaina. Pischa shiva means when she has to wait 7 days when she's not sure, when there was a tois, until she starts her next cycle. Pischa shmaina is when she has to wait 8 days when she's not sure until she starts her next cycle. What was the case of pischa shiva? Where she saw 13 days in a row. What was the case of pischa shmaina? It was when she saw 12 days in a row. Why in those cases do you not have this halacha? Meaning why over there is it vadai? It's very simple. Because if she sees 12 days in a row, and certainly if she sees 13 days in a row, she's for sure a zava gedayla. Because midday raisa, only 7 days is nida. The other 5 days, in the case where she saw 12 days in a row, the other 6 days, in the case where she saw 13 days in a row, are yamei ziva. If it's yamei ziva, there's for sure 3 days in a row of that. Right? It's not possible otherwise. Go through the possibilities. She saw 12 days in a row. The first 7 days were nida, because it was part of the first seven of the 18 days. The next five were yamei ziva. Okay, within those 5 days, she saw three. So now she's for sure a zava gedayla. If the first five was ziva and the latter seven were nida, she saw five in a row. What if the nida were in between? Okay, it was two ziva, seven nida, and three ziva. She saw three in a row. It was three ziva, seven nida, and two ziva. She saw three in a row. So every single possibility, she's a zava gedayla. So if every possibility, she's a zava gedayla. It's true if she saw 12 days in a row. Certainly true if she saw 13 days in a row. In that case, talach is mevias karmiv venech. But the Gemara asks, otu kala toy zava. It's not true. And in the case where she says she saw 1 day in a row, she only saw 1 day. If she saw 1 day, how could you tell me that she vaday has to bring a carbon? Right, we're saying that, oh, there's vaday atzad that she has to bring a carbon. That's not necessarily true. Anytime a woman it's even more than that. Kol ha'tois. Anytime a woman has a suffix, if she saw dam, or she's not sure about the exact nature of her dam, she's automatically misafik a zava gedayla. What if she knows for sure that she was a nida at that time? She just has some other ties. Or what if she says for sure I only saw 1 or 2 days? So if she for sure doesn't have to bring a zava gedayla. You're right. Ella kol zava is ha'tois, mevia is carbon. The enoy nechal means all the zavos that saw 3 days in a row, that now have a tois, have to bring a carbon, because of this suffix, we're not sure, chutz mi pischa shiva, pischa shmaina, shemeviyis carbon, venechal, exhale, incidentally. So this Mishnah right here is very not halacha l'maisa, right? It's very not halacha l'maisa. Why is it not halacha l'maisa? The reason it's not halacha l'maisa is because today, every single woman, it doesn't matter if she saw dam during the 7 days, or if she saw dam during the 11 days, is treated like a zava gedayla. In the sense, not that she brings a carbon, but at the same time, she's treated like a zava gedayla, that she doesn't become tahar until she sees Shiva Nakim. So you realize, the minig Yisrael is a chumra nifla. Because really, midday raisa, if a woman sees dam during the first 7 days, she's a dam nida, but at the end of the 7 days, even if she saw dam straight for 7 days, doesn't matter, she's going to be tahar. If she saw dam 3 days in a row during the next 11 days, that's when she runs into zava gedayla issues. But other than that, she's a nida, which means she's going to be tar on the 8th day. She's going to be tar ready on the 8th day. And even if she sees dam after that, so she's shemeres yayin keneged yayin. Even if she sees it 2 days, it's only 3 days in a row, which according to some tanaim, it has to be sheifas. It's not so simple to become a zava gedayla. But the point is that we're machmer. And the Gemara says in Masechtas Nida Bnei Yisrael Echmir Al Atzman Shafilu Roy Dam Kechardol. They already sit on it Shiva Nakiyim. So the point is that today this is very not halacha l'maisa, because you always have to wait Shiva Nakiyim regardless. So really, it's not gonna play itself out. But here's the interesting thing. The interesting thing is that part of the reason why the Chachamim were Machmer, why the Bnei Yisrael were Echmir Al Atzman, part of the reason why a woman sits Shiva Nakiyim after she sees Dam Nida, even if it wasn't during the Yemei Ziva, is precisely because of the sugi that we learned. So as much as the sugi is not halacha lemaisa, it's the basis for something that's very halacha lemaisa. And that is today, a Nida's Raya Dam Nida, that's Raya Dam Nida, Sitchev and Akim, and part of the reason is because it's confusing and there's mistakes, and a woman that's a Zavah Gedoyla may not realize she's a Zavah Gedoyla. So therefore the Chachamim said that every single woman, it doesn't matter what her cheshben exactly is, she's always supposed to be Raya Shivan Akim. One last halacha. So again, the theme is what? It's not Erechin, it's not Nida, it's not Ziva. The theme is minimums and maximums. That's really the theme of the daf. So either way, there's another halacha where you find this. Mitzayra gets locked up until it's determined 100% what's going on. Right? So the protocol always was, somebody came to a kohen and said, I think I might be a Mitzayra. So the first thing the kohen would do is inspect, assuming that there was a chash, you lock the person up, right? That's the Mitzayra. Badod Yeshet. And it doesn't matter if we're dealing with Nigei Adam, or Nigan on a Beged, or Nigei Batim. There was always some sort of lockup period where we waited to see what happens. The minimum shear that a person can be locked up, or an item can be locked up, because of a Kshash Mitzayra, is 1 week. So, Ein Ben Nigan Pachis Mishavua Echad, V'lo Yeser Al Shalosh Shavua. It's never less than a week, it's never more than 3 weeks. Pachis Mishavua Nigei Adam. Less than a week, or the minimum amount of a week would be Nigei Adam. There's certain, not all Nigei Adam, but certain Nigei Adam, where the person will never be locked up for more than a week. V'lo Yeser Al Shalosh Shavua, never more than 3, Nigei Batim. The Nigei Batim could be the worst case scenario, and the most that it could ever be is 3 weeks. Zok the Gemara. On that note, we conclude an intense staff with a little bit of Divrei Agada. Zok the Gemara, Amar Papa. Said, Koscha Kahar Reyel, Mishpetecha Tahoim Rabba, Adamu Behemet Teshia Hashem. So this pasuk means, Said, Koscha Kahar Reyel, David HaMelech said that your tzedek, the tzedek of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is kahar re'el. El miwashin chayel. It's like the mighty, the ilay mayav. Right? It's like the mighty mountains. Mishpatecha, David HaMelech said, the mishpat of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is tahayim rabbah. It's so rabbah, it's like the tahayim. The tahayim is of the beginning of Sefer Bereishis fame. So the tahayim is the depths of the world. The point is, David HaMelech, in the same pasuk, is talking about the gevaldige tzedaka of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem does unbelievable chesed. At the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mishpat is very, very daunting. Mishpatecha tahayim rabbah. They're the antithesis of each other. On the one hand, tzedkoscha kahar reyel. On the other hand, mishpatecha tahayim rabbah. So our Papa said, you know what the pasuk means? It's a remez to negayim. Tzedkoscha kahar reyel, elu negayadim. Nigei Adam is with tzedakah, it's with chesed. Because sometimes this lockup period is only for a week. Mishpatecha taim rabba is able to get batim, because sometimes it could be up to 3 weeks. And clearly the implication of this chazal is that that period of uncertainty, where the person was put away and not sure where the person's holding, was real mishpat. It's something that's it's not a pashta thing. And that's where Rav Papa said that in Nigei Adam, the fact that the person only gets put into this position and situation of limbo for a week, that's with tremendous chesed. It's tzedkoscha kareyel. Mitzad sheni, by nigei batim, it's a much longer period of time. That's mishpatecha taim rab. It says the pashut of Rabbi Mike. This is not the pashut of the pasuk. So what is the pashut of the pasuk? I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Moli said koscha kareyel. What the pasuk means as follows. David HaMelech said, we're not for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tzedakah, which is kareyel, mi yuchal amay lefnei mishpatecha taim rab. David HaMelech said, were it not for your tzedakah that's so gewaldig, who would be able to stand in front of your mishpat? It's only because there's an element of tzedakah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mishatef midas hachetes with midas adin. Otherwise, we would have no kiyum. Rabbi said a little bit differently. Tzedkoscha kahar reyel. You know why? Bepnei shev mishpatecha taim rabba. Says more micromythical. They first of all, what are they saying? And second of all, it sounds like they're saying something very similar. So the Gemara says, but Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, they're arguing. Some Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yosef, Chanina argued. It. Now we learned that loch is that one of the yud gimel midos Shatayr Nidreshes Behem is Virav Chesed. Right? Hashem, Hashem, Keo, Rachu, Mechanon, Machloikis, what exactly the Yud Gimel Midas are the first ones, Hashem, Hashem, Taisvis, Mesachas, Rosh Hashanah, the Sugyas of the Mishpat that Hashem does on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. The Svarim HaKdoshim say that it's Kael, the Bnei Yisachar, Kael no Rufan Allah, last week's parasha, Vadvar Matikin. But regardless, one of them is Virav Chesed. What's Virav Chesed? So Gemara says that if a person's a Beinoni, he has the same amount of zchuyos as averos, Hashem is v'rav chesed. He's not the klapi chesed. Hashem tips the scale, literally. So the question is, how does Hashem tip the scale? And there was a machlokes, believe it or not, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, exactly how that plays out. Rabbi Lazar on Mekovish. Rabbi Lazar says Hashem takes away some of the averos. He hides the averos. If Hashem takes away the averos, right, we say, Yoshev yirachameinu, yichboi shavoi noisenu. V'sashach v'mtsu loisiyom kol chatoisam. We say the tashach. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Kovish. Hashem hides the averos, so to speak. Hashem hides the averos. Memel, you can have more mitzvahs. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Amar, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina said, no, that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does is just the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes the averos, he lifts them up. If he lifts them up, now it looks like the mitzvahs are weighing down. And if the mitzvahs are the ones that are weighing down, so you can end up with more mitzvahs than averos. Okay, what does that do with anything? So, Tima Rabba, who was the first pshat, is Karabba Losa. Rabba that said, Tzidkoscho Kareyel. He holds like Rabbi Lazar, who says Koivish. Then how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu show his tzedek? He shows it by Mishpatech HaTayim Rabba, by being Koivish, by putting the Averis in the Tayim Rabba, by hiding the Averis. That's how he shows his chesed. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina. He said just the opposite. You know what Hashem does? He lifts. He's not yichboish avoy noiseinu, but rather he's noisei avoy va'ivir al pesha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifts. That's tzidkoscho kaharu reyel. He lifts it. That's the metaphor of a mountain. Is the metaphor toim rabba? That's koivish. Hashem is hiding the averus, or is it to the contrary? Hashem is lifting up the averus, so to speak. It's tzidkoscho kaharu reyel. Just to end with one little item of raid, and that is, so this pasuk of tzidkoscho so we say it Shabbos by Mincha. Right? This is what we say with Shabbos. We say three tzidkoschas Shabbos by Mincha. Tzidkoscha tzedek l'yoyim v'seroscha emes. V'tzidkoscha elokim admorim asher asisa gedoilus elokim yichamoicha. Tzidkoscha kaharei el mishpatecha toim rabba adum v'hema teshi Hashem. Now these are three psukim that are all in Sefer Tehillim. And they're not three psukim in succession. So we say it in the Nusach HaTfilah, we say it in succession. But really, Tzidkoscha tzedek l'olam v'seroscha emes is Tehillim perek kuf yutes. Tzidkoscha elikim admorim asher asisa gedoilus elikim yichamoichas is Tehillim perek ayin aleph. And Tzidkoscha kaharei el mishpatecha toim rabba adam v'hemet eshi Hashem. That's what we just said, is perek lamed vav. And the truth is, if that's the case, we're saying the three psukim tzirik tzivegs. We're saying it counterclockwise. Right? We're going out of order. That's Nusach Ashkenaz. Nusach Sfarad says it in the reverse order. Tzidkoscha kaharei el. Pashup shat is, because you're going in order. But why do we say it? Why do we say tzidkoscha? Why is this tefillah inserted right before Aleinu, right? Usually you finish davening Aleinu. So before Aleinu, we insert this tzidkoscha. So the Makar is in the Torah. It's in Hilchos Shabbos. It's in Tzimin, Reish, Tzadik, Breiz. The Shulchan Aruch brings it as well. The Mechaber says, Oymrim tzidkoscha. We say tzidkoscha. What's the reason? So the Mishabur brings the whole Arichos. The Mesu by Yosef Moshe V'David. Because there were three tzadikim that died. Shabbos Kodesh, Mincha time. Yosef HaTzadik, Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. And we know that when a person goes to a Beis HaChayim, a person walks into a cemetery, he's supposed to make a bracha. The bracha that he's supposed to make is Tzidok HaDei. He's supposed to be Matzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Being at first glance, a person can walk into a cemetery, especially in certain situations, that he could feel like, why did this happen exactly? So what a Yid does is, he makes a Baruch Dayan HaEmes, when he hears about the Basura, and then when he walks into a Beis HaChayim, there's another bracha that he's supposed to make. There's a concept of Tzidok HaDei. We're being Matzik the Din. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're Hatsur Tamim Pa'aloi, Yichal Dracha, Mishpat Keila, Munavit Einovel, Tzadik V'yosh, it's one of the psukim you say when you walk into a Beis HaKvaros. Right? You're supposed to be Matzik. That even though we don't understand Mishpatecha Tohim Rabba, but at the same time we accept everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. That's exactly what we're doing at Shabbos Mincha. Three tzaddikim were nifter Shabbos Kodesh Mincha, and every single Yid L'dairis is matstik the din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we had a tzaddik, Yosef HaTzaddik, we had Moshe Rabbeinu, we had David HaMelech. You took away those three tzaddikim during this time, and we're being matzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we understand 100% that, or we don't understand, but at the same time, we're being matzik. Tzidkoscha tzedek l'olam v'seroscha emes, the Sfarim say that's Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe emes v'teirasa emes. That's tzidkoscha tzedek l'olam v'seroscha emes. The other two are above my pay grade, but either way, so today's daf was intense in terms of minimums and maximums. Tomorrow is also going to be intense, but the latter part of the week, the next 11 days, the latter part of the week, we're going to have a lot of lighter sugyas as it relates to different things. Halal and some of the geshmakas sugyas and shas come here. It's a Masechta Erechin, and you wonder, how do you go from Erechin? We didn't start Erechin yet. So how do you go from Erechin to Halil and some of these other sugyas. So it's going to be along the lines of this digression that we're in the middle of right now.